So David found into first area of sin. His second area of sin, after all the interlude, came right at the end, after he was restored, in chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24. Says, again the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. If you read 1 Chronicles chapter 21 verse 1, you realize that it was the devil, but God just allowed it. See, we will be constantly faced with choices, and this is what I know God operates in. See, God brings us from glory to glory to glory to glory. Before each step into glory and each step into a higher realm, you are tested. You're tested in that God allows you to be tested. When God allows you to be tested and tempted, if temptations are being offered to you right now and you have choices in your life situation, don't look at that as something disastrous. Look at that as something to conquer and then get a reward. Because no temptation overtakes you unless God permits it. Unless, of course, you have purposely chosen the wrong way, gone off track against God, and is in an area of temptation where you're never supposed to be in. Then the first thing, of course, repent and get back with God. But here, David had pride. David wanted to number the Israelites so that he could see how big an army he had. So he started comparing himself. Now these are things that happen all the time. Even if you are a man of God, your ministry grows, your church grows, guess what? Pride can come into your life. You could begin to look down on others, begin to talk against others, begin to tread on others. Why? Last time you were a small church, now you're a big church, you can bully other churches. That's not nice. Remember your humble beginning. Do you know that every single one of us had a manger experience? There is no big ministry today that never went through the manger. No matter how big your church is today, no matter how big your ministry is today, and no matter how big your business is today, there was a time you were born in a manger. Your little manger. So what's the big deal? Why get proud? You were a little bit born in a manger. Like Jesus Christ. But your manger was a different manger. What I'm talking about is your humble beginnings. Oh, you who are billionaires, millionaires, remember there was once upon a time when $300 was a real struggle for you. So now don't look at your $300,000 or your $3 million and look down on another one. Oh, you who minister to 3 million or 300,000, remember when you ministered to 3. Never remember this. And I always remind myself and remind other ministers whom I fellowship with, I said, never forget, never ever forget your humble beginnings. Never remember them all your life. Because they will keep you humble. You remember how your 5 cents were guchaleng. If you don't have the right change, not enough change, it means walking all the way back. And I know what it was. I remember in those days in Penang, I remember when I went to preach in one Presbyterian church when we just left the seminary. I remember... After preaching, I had bus fare to go there, no bus fare to come back. And I remember as I walked back all the way, I was crying. I said, God, I believe your word. But your word is not working yet. So while your word is not working yet, I'm walking. But as I'm walking in your word. And I walk all the way. And my, dear wife was there and she encouraged me. And, she said, God sees all these things. Press on. So it's important for us to remember our humble beginnings. Never forget. That is why today sometimes I see another minister in need. whatever, you know, I can help, I want to help. And I tell many of my ministers, I say, if any time you lack a meal, if any time, you know, your family gets in trouble, give me a call. If I can help, I will help. If I can't help, I can't help. But if I can, I want to. Because I know what it's like. Remember your humble beginnings. David forgot his humble beginning. Now he wants to number the whole of Israel so that he can be proud. And God was not pleased. Judgment started to fall. Now here's where the key. How do we walk alive permanently free from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? I got only one big key for you. Fasting, prayer, and the Word. But primary, it is fasting and humbling ourselves before God. Humbling ourselves before God. Every time in the world, when something successful happens, they have a feast. By all means, celebrate and have a feast. But remember this, every time you have a promotion, have a fast too. Say, why have a fast? It's time for rejoicing. What, didn't the Bible say it's a time and season for everything? Yes, yes, yes. Eat first, lah. Eat all you want. But this is the reason. We must recognize all promotions come from God. Didn't the Bible say, humble yourselves in the sight of God? The Bible did say that. Humble yourselves in the sight of God and He will exalt you in due season. How do we humble ourselves? One way, fasting. When you seek God in fasting, you humble yourselves before God. So whenever you have a promotion, humble yourself before God and say, God, you know, I recognize it's from You, oh God. I'm humbling myself before You. To recognize, God, that it's You, not me. It's You, not me, Lord. It's You. Some people will only fast and pray when disaster strikes. Or they only fast and pray when they are forced to. Why? They got no choice, no food to eat. No, we don't want to just fast and pray when adversity strikes. We want to fast and pray when prosperity comes too. Whether it's spirit, soul, or body. And that's one thing that has kept me all these years today. Free from the lust of the flesh, free from all the other areas, because of fasting and prayer. It's no big secret, it's available for everybody. It will make you look better too. So you don't have so much fat to carry around. But it's important for us to understand. Do you notice of these three temptations, David succeeded in one, but he failed in two. Whenever he failed in those two, do you know what he did? He fasted and he prayed. That's the secret. If you're living in sin today and it's not exposed yet, you better quickly repent before it's exposed. Because if God exposes it, it means judgment is definite. But if you repent before the judgment, perhaps the grace of God may be there, where His grace will wipe it so far away, that it will be as if you have not done it. If you repent quickly before God, then you are saying, how do I repent? Forsake all sin and fast and pray before God. Seek His face. Fast 3 days or 7 days or whatever you want. 21 days, 40 days, 80 days, 70 days, 120 days, right? Whichever. Fast and pray as the Holy Spirit leads you. Now here is where you notice in chapter 24. It says there that the plague started, and David, in verse 17, when he saw the Lord, and he says, surely I have sinned, I have done wickedly. So David recognized his sin. But in 1 Chronicles 21, it gives you a clue what David was doing. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 16. David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between the earth and heaven, having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders clothed in sackcloth. Now that is the clue to tell you they were fasting. But they fasted too late. My friends, don't fast too late. See, a lot of people do their fasting and prayer when they got no other choice. But I do my fasting and prayer way back earlier as a normal part of my routine to seek God, to humble myself before God. It's a weekly thing before God to humble. And once in a while, you go on a longer stretch to humble yourselves before God. And just to give you the scripture for that, although you would have known it, in chapter 12, chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, verse 16, David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. See, when David fell for those two sins, he repented by fasting. Now, learn from Jesus. Do you notice in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, that Jesus, when he had his anointing, he went into the wilderness and he fasted. And throughout his entire life, if I know Jesus and from the clues that the scripture gives, Jesus lived a fasted life. Because in Mark 11, he was hungry. Apparently, he didn't have much time to eat many times. He ate only, you know, as he had opportunity to eat. And in Mark 11, he was so hungry, he wanted to eat figs from a fig tree. And when it was not there, Jesus cursed the fig tree. Let no man eat of thee after it. After that, in Mark 11, he said that. Poor fig tree died. But what the Bible didn't emphasize was Jesus was still hungry. He didn't get to eat. And then remember the Gospel of John chapter 4. When the disciples went to the Samaritan town. You know why they went there? Read carefully. They went there to buy food. So Jesus was sitting there at the well. The well where the woman at the well story came. And Jesus, he was already hungry. How do you know? Disciples went to buy lunch. It was lunchtime. He was hungry. Plus the Bible says he was thirsty. So he told the woman at the well, give me a drink. And then you have the nice story in John chapter 4. The woman said, why are you a Jew talking to me, a Samaritan? He's never done like that before. Jesus says, if you know the one who says this to you, he'll give you living water so which you drink, you never thirst again. I'll paraphrase. The woman at the well said, you know, how do you draw water, seeing that you have nothing with you to draw water? And then Jesus Christ said, you know, wow, there's a conversation going. Finally, Jesus talks, says, you worship, you know, and saying that, look, if you ask from him who is talking to you now, you will never thirst again. Oh, the woman was hungry by now. She was thirsty. She says, you Jews worship in Jerusalem, we worship on the mountain. And Jesus says, the day shall come when they will worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman was now fully convinced.